Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
What are your favourite types of stories? Do you like mystery stories? Do you like fantasy stories? Sci-fi stories? If you're little, do you like stories about animals? Do you like stories of adventure? We loved stories about dogs when my daughter was growing up. We used to read about Kipper and Clifford and dogs going to Bark Park. And I just realized that we still love stories about dogs because we watch reels on Instagram about dogs, and particularly about dogs being rescued from the streets in Thailand. These are our favorite stories. I love to read police stories, mystery stories, and that might tell me something about myself. It might teach me something about the world. It might form something in me about what is right and wrong. It might give me curiosity, or at least divert me from real life for a little while. Well, the story that we have heard today, and that we repeat every Good Friday, is a story that plays a role for us every time we hear it in different ways. Firstly, it is a story to inspire us. One of the stories we enjoy is the Avengers and the Marvel movies. And this was the moment in Avengers Endgame where I was most profoundly inspired. All the female superheroes together. This is just a tiny snapshot of who was there. And I was inspired for courage and leadership. When we come to the story of Jesus on the cross, in Matthew's gospel, we see that this is an inspiring king. Yes, a king. He has been predicted as the king from his very birth. In Matthew's gospel, as soon as Jesus is born, he is described as the king in the line of King David. And we see this awful irony when it comes to the cross, that he is mocked as a king, that he is made to dress up as a king. And yet it is true, he is a king, not just of the Jews, but of the whole world. And yet in our world, kings don't act like that at all. Presidents don't act like that. Prime ministers don't act like that at all. When they rule, when they lead, we see power, we see pride, we see greed, we see grabbing. When we do see kindness, we can barely put up with it. And so this is a story of a king who knew that in order to save, in order to lead, in order to rule, he must serve, sacrifice, and give his very life. This is inspiring. Catherine Hankey, unfortunate name, but there you go, wrote the hymn, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. And she wrote another hymn called I Love to Tell the Story. And Catherine was deeply inspired by the message of Jesus and his love shown on the cross, so inspired that she and her family were part of what was known as the Clapham Sect, which worked with William Wilberforce to abolish slavery, to work to eradicate poverty, and she herself went to be a missionary nurse in South Africa. The old, old story and telling the story inspired her to live a different life for Jesus. But our story on Good Friday is not just inspiring. It actually tells us something about ourselves. Now, not everybody in the cinema reacted the same way to this scene as I did. I'm not known as the one who cries in movies in my household. You can join the dots. But I was sobbing as the female superheroes stepped in to take their part in the great battle. And that was not just because this story was inspiring me, but it was telling me something about myself, my experiences, and my passions. I was sobbing for a world where this would be true. I was sobbing for the times when it had not been true for me. And I was sobbing in hope for my daughter who would see these role models and perhaps live a freer life than many women who had come before her. This story said more about me because of my reaction than just being inspirational. And the death of Jesus, as related in Matthew's gospel, does the same. At every point, and we didn't read the entire passion narrative, but if you have time, please do. You can access it online really easily if you don't have a Bible. Matthew 26 and 27. At every point, we see different people reacting and responding, and it tells us about them and about us. We see Pilate, we see Pilate's wife. Don't have anything to do with this, wash your hands. We see Judas betraying Jesus, and actually in Matthew's gospel we see him full of remorse and throwing back the pieces of silver. Did you know that? We see the crowds calling for Jesus' blood and being willing to say, again, this terrible irony, may his blood be upon us and our children. And we see the soldier at the cross who has seen all these things and who says, surely this is the Son of God. Our reaction, along with all of the people around the cross, and this was the least gruesome picture I could find, tells us about ourselves. Do we want to stand at a distance or wash our hands of the claims of this man? Are we so infuriated by what he is claiming or telling us to do or saying about us that we want to get rid of him altogether and are willing to say, his blood is on my hands, no problem? Will we deny him, betray him, weep for him, stand helpless before him? Or say, this truly is the Son of God. But it's not just the onlookers who tell us about ourselves in this story. It is Jesus himself, because at every point, Jesus is actually our representative. He tells us through what is going on about our deepest human needs and our deepest human hopes. So when Jesus is on the cross and he cries these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? He tells us that the greatest loss for any human being would be to be separated from God. He tells us that this cup of suffering, of punishment that he is drinking is actually something that was meant for us, not him. But he represents us and he takes it for us. And so that's where we depart from this being a story to inspire, or a story that reveals something about us as we engage with it. This is more than a story. This is history. And Matthew wants us to know that because he moves away from the human interest factor and moves to the whole of creation. Did you notice that we go from how it happens with Judas and how it happens with the soldiers and the governor and all of that to suddenly it becomes dark? Suddenly the earth shakes. Suddenly tombs break open and something extremely strange happens. The whole of creation, the whole of human history is being affected by this story. It is not just a story. Something is happening for us. And it is this. Jesus, in representing us, is in fact substituting himself for us, so that the deepest fear of the human being, being separated utterly from the light and life and love of God because of our sin, he has taken it. What happens when he's on the cross? It becomes dark instead of light. What happens when he's on the cross? He says, why have you abandoned me instead of me being in your loving presence? What happens on the cross? The earth shakes and breaks open and dead bodies are exposed in their tombs. Life and love and light are all gone for Jesus. But he did it for us. Jesus knew that what was in store for a humanity that had no way back to God was darkness and brokenness and the absence of the presence of God. And so he himself bore our sins on his body on the cross so that we might have no fear of death, no fear of separation, no fear of punishment, no fear of brokenness. Jesus died in our place for us. When we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, this final cup that Jesus drank with his disciples before he drank what he called the cup that God had given him, the cup of God's wrath on our behalf. We know that we are fully and freely, without any punishment, any brokenness, any darkness. We're going to share the Lord's Supper, and we're going to do something more as well. Jesus' cross stood in our place. And if you feel today that you would like to make a symbol that you understand that he died in your place, not just inspiring you, not just revealing something about you, but instead doing something for you that has changed the course of history, then perhaps you might also like to add your cross to this one in paint. We're going to take communion here and in the middle. So if you can come down this side and in the middle, and then if you'd like to, head over and add your mark, knowing that Jesus took everything that we deserved so that all of it is gone. Let us take a moment just to be quiet before we come to communion, knowing that the curtain of the temple tore from top to bottom, Jesus' body torn and broken so that we might enter in to the very presence of God.